Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like us to go to the gospel reading where we just hear an incredible greeting this morning. And certainly we're in the season of greetings, aren't we? As it's a time that many people will send out greetings through Christmas cards. And as a pastor, it's always such a joy to hear from people from all the congregations that I've been blessed to serve thus far, and of course from our family here at Trinity. It's always exciting to receive those special greetings and messages in the mail. We understand greetings and how important they are. But you know, the greatest and the most personal greeting comes from heaven, and we hear of it this morning in verse 28 of our gospel reading, where we hear these words, "And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.'" What an incredible greeting that Mary received from an incredible angel, the angel Gabriel. Isn't that really awesome that we know the names of some of the angels in Scripture? And we hear of Gabriel working in the Old Testament church as well. And here he is on this really incredible event, this greeting to Mary. And notice it's a threefold greeting and message in nature. And first of all, there's the greeting itself. And can you imagine how Mary must have felt with this angel in her presence greeting her, but then addressing her in his message, "O favored one." Very interesting statement, a very interesting acknowledgement of Mary, "O favored one." And of course, what makes Mary favored is due to God's grace, and what gives grace its power is the promise of the child that's going to be in her very womb that she will bear, that ironically is the one that enables her to be favored before the Lord. And then the final piece of this greeting is, "The Lord is with you." What a statement. The Lord is with you. And Mary going to have the Lord dwelling even in her very womb. An incredible message. And so Gabriel goes on to explain in his message that, "Mary, you're going to bear a son," and even instructs Mary as to the name of this son. It is Jesus, and certainly that's the personal name of the Messiah, the Anointed One, that was promised from the time Adam and Eve fell into sin, that seed of the woman. And Gabriel goes on to say, not only is he to be called Jesus, but he will be called the Son of the Most High. That this child, Mary, that's in your womb is going to be the Son of God, the Son of the Most High, a descendant from David, the promised Messiah, and he will reign forever. His kingdom will be forever, Mary. Can you imagine receiving a message like that? Well, we're receiving it again this morning, aren't we? As God is informing us, reminding us of who this precious child is in the womb of Mary. It's Jesus, and even Jesus' name defines why he has come, because that means saves. And Jesus came to save. Now, this is very confusing for Mary. In verse 34, Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" A very critical question. In fact, a question that has been pondered by the church and sadly in the quote-unquote Christian church today even debated whether Mary could actually have been a virgin, because after all, that would be impossible, right? With man. And the moment that you deny that Mary is a virgin in conceiving this child is the moment that you step away from faith. Because without this event, we would not have salvation. This child is not conceived by man, But as Gabriel informs Mary, this child is conceived by the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Son of God. You see, there's been a chain of death that has gone through every generation from the time of Adam and Eve. And that chain is original sin. Not only did Adam and Eve's rebellion against God affect them, but it affected all the generations to follow, including you and me. We inherited that original sin from our parents. We as parents have handed that sin to our children, and they to their children, and it continues on, and it's death, because the wages of sin is death. God has broken that chain of death through this miraculous Virgin Mary through the Son that he has given. Not conceived by man, because then original sin would continue. Jesus would not be without sin if he was conceived by man. But he is the Son of God. He is holy. He is without sin. The chain has been broken. Boy, is that ever good news, right? Because that means life for all who believe and trust. But think about this from Mary's perspective. I'm a virgin. How can this be, God? I mean, from my perspective, this seems impossible. But then Gabriel does a beautiful thing for Mary. Gives her a sign, a visible sign, and says, your relative Elizabeth, talk about impossibility. She's way beyond her age of childbearing. And guess what? She is now 6 months pregnant. Isn't it wonderful how God works? That he gives to us those affirmations of his faithfulness to his promises. And how comforting that must have been for Mary when she could go see Elizabeth and see that she was pregnant with child, which is an absolute human impossibility. But God intervened, as he does with Mary, the virgin. And then after stating that historical event about Mary's relative Elizabeth, Gabriel affirms to Mary, he affirms to you and me, these incredible words. Nothing will be impossible with God. Think about that. Nothing will be impossible with God. Now, wouldn't it be awesome if Gabriel would come to us with the same message? Well, us guys, that'd be kind of hard with that literal message, right? But how about if we were called favored ones? And God came to us individually. Wouldn't that be incredible? Well, the good news this morning is we don't have to imagine that, because in reality, that's exactly what God has done. He has come to you and me, and he addresses you and me also as favored ones. A very unique word in the Greek language, only used here in this text in Luke, when the angel Gabriel says to Mary, favored one. One other time that Greek word is used in Scripture, and it's in Ephesians chapter 1, and it's in verse 6, the end of the text that we have before us. But here is the Almighty God, just like God spoke through the angel Gabriel to Mary, God speaks to you and me this very morning through the Apostle Paul, and here's what God has to say. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Wow, that's quite a greeting, isn't it? And then goes on to say, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has favored us. Literally there, you can translate that Greek word again as accepted us or favored us in the beloved. Have you ever thought about that? That God addresses you just like he did Mary? O favored one. Wow, what an incredible blessing and announcement and greeting from God. And the Lord also comes to you and me as he did with Mary and affirms to us the Lord is with you. In fact, think about it. When Jesus, just prior to his ascension into heaven, what was his promise to the church, to you and me individually? I am with you always until when? Very end of the age. In other words, I'm never leaving you. There will never be a moment, there will never be a millisecond in time that I am not with you. What a promise from God that I am with you always. We live continually in God's presence. I love Psalm 139. And if you've been at the hospital, there's times that I love to share this reading before someone goes into surgery. I think it's so comforting because we know that the Lord goes in with us. He's fully aware of our condition. But look at what God says. You have searched me, Lord. You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. Wow, I would say that is an intimate presence of God with his church, with you and me individually as his children. And that will never end. Think how that can change our perspective on any given day. And so this incredible message, and in it God assures us also, as he did Mary, that nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing. And so that's foundational to the way that you and I function in life on this earth. Do we function from that premise, from that promise that God gives to you and me? And then I think of Ephesians 2:10 while we're in Ephesians. I love this passage. We are his workmanship, and who are we but those who have been saved by God's grace, which we hear earlier in this chapter. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And then look at that, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That is our calling. God doesn't say, okay, I want you to come up with an agenda for your life. No, God says, I have an agenda for your life. And he reveals it to us as we faithfully follow him. But let me ask you this, what is your response to God's message in those words? God says, hey, I've got a plan for your life. I've got these things laid out for you specifically to do. So what is our response? What is our approach to this? Do you find yourself focusing on your own strength and your own inabilities? Or do you find yourself focusing on and trusting on God's promise, and in that promise, nothing is impossible with God? And that's a serious question for us to ponder this morning. Think about Mary. That was a serious question for Mary to ponder. Do I believe and trust what's being announced to me from God through the angel Gabriel? Or do I look at what I see as the possibilities? And you see, what happens is when we lose our focus upon God and that nothing is impossible with God, it greatly hinders mission and ministry. It greatly handicaps our lives and the way that we function upon this earth. And we fail to experience great things that God desires for us simply because we are looking at what we perceive. By our own power and strength, what we perceive the possibilities really are. Think about that in terms of our ministry here at Trinity Lutheran Church and School. When we go forward and do the work of the Lord, are we looking at our own agendas? Or are we really humbly seeking God's will in these matters? And if it looks impossible, how do we approach that? Well, wait a minute. God is leading this. He's directing it. We prayed about it. We're prayerfully submitting to His will. But wow, how is this going to happen, God? God says, I got it covered. I'm almighty. There's no limits with that, what I can or cannot do. And so it really comes down to these questions, and ones that Mary really had to ponder in her heart. I mean, this was quite a greeting, quite an announcement, and she had a lot to process in a short while. And so, three key questions, and I want you to ponder these in your own heart this morning. And not only today, but as you continue your journey of faith, and I will do the same. Do you believe that you live in God's favor? That's foundational. Do you really believe that you are living in God's favor? Number two, do you believe God is really with you nonstop? And number three, do you believe really that nothing is impossible with God? Tell you, the way that we approach in answering those three questions are very definitive of the type of life that we live upon this earth. We are favored ones. The Lord came to Mary through the angel Gabriel, but you know this baptismal font right here? Many mornings in worship, we've seen little ones and adults as well brought forward and water applied to them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, calling them by name. Think about that. The Almighty God, through the waters of baptism, calling us individually by name to give to us His favor. A passage that I love, a baptismal text, is Titus chapter 3. You may want to go look at this later on today, but look at these words. He saved us. That's critical right there. Do you really believe God saved you? You didn't contribute anything, nor did I, but God has done it all. He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done. You may be thinking this morning, well, I don't know if I'm favored by God because I know I'm a sinful human being. And boy, maybe this past week wasn't the greatest week for you or me. And can God still favor me, really? And the answer is yes, because it's not based upon what we have done or failed to do. It's based on His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. For Mary, hey, Mary, your relative is pregnant with child. That's an impossibility too, but she's 6 months pregnant. The Lord gives us visible means with the water. And we can reflect back. Maybe we're too young to remember, but we have witnesses that were there that water was applied to our bodies in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We were baptized. We were called by God, and it was a very visible event. And God wants us to believe and trust, whom He poured out on us generously, and it all hinges, of course, upon Jesus Christ. the one who has broken the chain of death that went on from generation to generation, so that having been justified by his grace, and I love the play on this word, justified, never sinned, God declares us not guilty, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And a center theme of the Advent season is one of hope. And so through baptism, we now have life. We are declared to be children of God. We have the security of everlasting life. And in addition to that, we are honored to serve, as described in Ephesians 2:10. God's got the plan. We don't have to figure it out. God's already got the plan. He reveals it. Mary wasn't pondering, you know, I wonder if Gabriel's going to come and want me to have God's child in my womb. I don't think she ever probably was praying about that or laying out her life plans, but the Lord came into her life and revealed it. And he does the same with you and me. But here's the key. What is our response? Mary's response is incredible, only by God's grace. And so in Luke 1:38, we see that response. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. Wow. Mary had a lot to process. And do you realize what she is committing to? Number one, she's going to be pregnant. She's not married. That's a huge no-no in the culture of that day. In fact, Mary could be put to death by stoning, by the law, for doing that very thing. So she could be putting her physical life on the line. But certainly, how is she going to talk to her betrothed Joseph about this? Remember, Joseph was going to put her away quietly. But then the angel came to Joseph. I wonder which angel that was. The angel comes to Joseph and informs Joseph of what is going on. This was a huge response. A lot of ramifications. But Mary trusted. Even though it seemed impossible. And through Mary, God continued his plan of salvation. Wow. Well, God includes his favored ones in his marvelous plan. And so, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may we be ones who submit ourselves prayerfully to God. Lay our own agendas aside and say, God, I want your agenda in my life. And that is what we are called to do. And we can follow boldly, knowing that and trusting that nothing is impossible, trusting the Lord's presence among us. He dwelt in Mary's womb, and you know what? The Lord dwells in us too. In fact, we're going to receive the Holy Supper in a moment, and what are we receiving? The very body and blood of Christ going into our bellies. We receive Christ in a very intimate way. He is with us always. Well, Mary was bold and confident and trusting, and may we be the same. May we say to God, even though whether it's as leaders of this church body, whether it's individually, whatever we are doing in life as God directs it, may we say to God, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And then watch what happens. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has delivered us from that chain of death and has won the victory of life. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.